another edition of the Andy and Amanda Show. And I'm Andy Kimball in the U.S., California, Los Angeles, where it's a chilly 85 degrees, about 30-some degrees C, I think, in equivalent in the U.K., however you do it. And Amanda Love just joined us, too. Amanda's on this program now. My co-host, hey, babes, you there?
Hello. Hey, darling. Hello. How are you?
How you doing? God, sorry about the mix-up. You know, it's funny because we're ready to go on the air here, and I was running around a little late getting in here today and say, hey, I might even be signing on a little bit late. And so I get over here, you know, make a nice cup of coffee and chat with Amanda. And she said, oh, so we're going on at 10 o'clock my time, right? I'm like, no. And I look at the schedule on Blog Talk, and it shows us at 2 p.m. my time, 10 o'clock Amanda time in UK. And I'm like, oh, got to fix that. Went back to Blog Talk Radio. Got it all adjusted and fixed. And so, you know, since we were advertised on Blog Talk at going on at 2 in California, 5 in the Eastern time zone and 8 over there in the UK, I don't know what our listenership is because we just fixed this just before showtime. So we went on, bam, suddenly not advertised at this time slot. So, hey, Amanda, it just might be you and I and the podcast audience who are going to hear this as a pre-recorded show, you know?
Oh, well, yeah, that's possible. Okay.
So I guess we can take anything we want and just delete it, and, you know, for the podcast. We can just say, you know, fuck this shit, you know what I mean? And just, you know, fuck
it. Well, let's do that. Let's fuck this shit. Let's go. Let's
fuck
go
this. You know, see, okay, I'll see you later. I'll call you back. So I had to go out. I had to help a neighbor who's climbing up through the window. And
yeah.
I saw him climbing up the window. Yeah, you know, I went out for, I had to do an errand. I went down to Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's is an amazing chain of grocery stores we have here in the U.S. It's really amazing. Everything they touch, everything they market, everything they sell is incredible. And you perceive it to be like a higher end, but it's not. It's actually inexpensive, and it's really good. It's called Trader Joe's. I'm sure most of our U.S. Audience, of course, they've probably all seen it or know it or live near one. And can vouch for what I'm saying, but you would not know of it in the UK. But
no.
I had to go over there and get a few things and come back. And there's my neighbor going through the window again. And I went over there. I said, well, I got to ask you a question. And they're like, I said, every time I leave and you're leaving, you're always climbing out through the window. Okay, just explain. He said, yeah, I was born cesarean. It's been that way ever since. I'm like, what? Well, how come you don't use the front door? You know?
Well, I just see it in my head. Of course, I thought everybody would have the complete opposite, you know, idea in their mind. Oh yeah, okay. What are they up to then? You know, climbing in like the window, being sneaky.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Couldn't figure it out. Couldn't figure it out. You know.
Wow. Okay.
How's it going over there?
It's going.
It's the difficult questions in life. You know what I mean? It's just difficult questions.
Yeah. Well, some news, actually. Two things to do with the COVID thing. So I got my text message to book my vaccination. So
your fascination with what?
With everything.
Yeah. I'm fascinated with everything too, but I usually don't need an appointment to be fascinated.
Okay. Well, I guess I do.
I'm very easy.
I'm sure, Andy. I'm sure.
Bit of wow too. You know what I'm saying?
So it makes it even more easier, right?
It does. Oh shit! Here we go again. God damn it. Yeah. Anyway.
Damn boy. Damn.
Yeah. Really. You know. Yeah.
So,
but, you know, what? Nobody takes me seriously.
I know,
I'm sorry to so rudely interrupt you. Go ahead with your fascination or whatever.
It's okay. I'm used to it, Andy. I'm used to it.
God, no respect. You know what I mean? No respect. Hey, I'm going to interrupt you again because we have this amazing phone number lit up in bold here on the board. Which means whoever it is must be very hot, must be very anxious, must be very excited to join our show. And I was, you know, told you it was advertised late. I guess these folks knew better. They knew we'd come on at 3 p.m. Eastern time because the phone call is coming from the Eastern time zone, U.S. area code. And I'm assuming that whoever this person is an incredible, talented, bright, articulate, capable, aggressive, amazing, effective, you know, a person with incredible attributes who's joining our show right now. And it must be, wait a minute. Let me see.
This is really hard.
Really? Really. It must be no other. I'm just going to find a name to match the number. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Whoever it is.
I must apologize for not being here to greet you personally.
You know, but we're here, though. We are here on the air. It must be none other than, let me think. Wait a minute. I know you're excited to get on the show, but wait a minute. You know what I mean? Hold on. So is it Cornell Butler?
Yes.
Hey.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
How you doing?
Oh, good.
I'm good. Andy, you always bring me in the way I love to come. Thank you. But you forgot the doing, 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 doing.
No, you missed it. We had that too. You just missed
yeah.
that.
Oh, great. Ooh.
Yeah.
Amanda, Andy, what's up?
Hey
man,
we're good.
We're here. We have a unique opportunity on this particular show. I mean, I could be wrong. There might be, you know, tons of listeners out there listening to us live, but I have a feeling they're not. I don't know, because somehow there's a scheduling mix-up on Block Talk, and it showed us having a live show at 10 p.m. in UK, which would have meant 2 p.m. here and 5 where you are in the East Coast, and that's when it was advertised on Block Talk. So, you know, I was telling Amanda, or she texted me because I was running late. And I said, I might be joining the show a little late today. And she said, oh, you know, she's texting me back and forth there from UK and said, so we're on at 10 p.m. my time, which is unusual. And I said, I don't think so. And I checked, and sure enough, yeah, Block Talk had us scheduled at 10 p.m. in UK. So I texted her back, said, let me see if I can go into Block Talk, fix that. And with a minute to spare, I did. And we're on live right now, but it wasn't advertised. So it just might be us, and we can probably do whatever the hell we want to. And then fix it later for a podcast. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? You did a great job, Andy. You never fold under questioning.
You know, it's amazing when you think about it, going back over the 1 year history we've had, and we all know, the three of us have been here and witnessed it and seen it and sweated it out. There have been some shows, not as many recently, actually, I think we're getting it down pat finally, but for a while there, we're kind of feeling our way through how you do this. Where we did some things were like last minute pre-productions, last minute this, bum, bum, just like, whoa, just like as hairline thin time before we go on or before something was supposed to happen on the show, when we pulled it off, we were like, whoa, we did it. We were like, oh, my God.
And, yeah.
You remember all that? And it happened more frequently than not for a while when we were just kind of learning how do you do a radio show? We're like, I don't know.
I don't know.
And we played the guitar. And yeah. we somehow pull off these audio clips and these, and especially during the election campaigns and the COVID thing, when it was, well, still COVID thing now, but when it was like, you know, we're losing 25,000 people a week, things like that. We're like running around last minute getting news, last minute producing news clips and getting commentary together and all this stuff. We're like, whew, we did it. But I'm feeling good now. I'm feeling we got this thing down, you know?
Yeah.
Down packed. Yes.
There are some. We
this
had a call.
Yeah, guys. People don't realize what background.
Some folks might, because we're not professional radio people here. I'm starting to think we are, but
wait,
anyway,
huh?
We're not. You know what I mean?
I think we are.
I'm starting to feel professional. You know what I mean? I really am.
Yeah.
But anyway, because like what we do, and if this is what you occupy your time doing, whether it's money making or not, hint. This is what your occupation is. There's nobody that said your occupation has to be tied to a paycheck, because it's what you do to occupy your time.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Think about Walt Disney when he created Disney World. When he first started, he wasn't getting no money.
Yeah.
He wasn't getting anything. He just had a vision.
Right. And that was his occupation, and it led to the creation of the Disney organization.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Yeah.
Look,
People still ask us, though.
Why have you come here?
We're still figuring that out. We are still figuring it out.
Well, actually, and the reason we came here just because we didn't have nothing better else to do. So, you know, guys.
I think we came here because...
No time for sex.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, that's definitely exactly.
Yeah. We're on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, all you Blog Talk listeners and fans out there, how you doing? We had a caller last week. We had a couple or show and a half. I would, you know, a show at least. And the week before, we did a couple of shows on being related, on romance, and ventured into sex and you know, attraction and these types of conversations. With true, you know, some callers that we haven't heard or seen from, and one guy who seems to be a listener, and he might be out there now. Hey, Joe, out there, if you're listening in South Dakota, I think, who called in. Who seemed to be more familiar with Blog Talk as a listener, a fan of Blog Talk, and addressed some of its shortcomings, its shortfalls. And as producers on the Blog Talk platform, we've also realized what it can and what it's tough to get, you know, to do when you're accustomed to listening to regular radio and talk radio and being engaged. And there's things that this platform is short on and really allowing you to exercise the full capability of what a real, you know, broadcasting radio station would allow you to do. But given the fact that it's an internet show, I commend, it's the only act in town. It's the only act in town that does what it does. We have 10 phone lines. We have 10 phone lines you can get in. Our number is 515-605-9888. Again, because this is a last minute time change, you know, we went from, you know, it was addressed before. I don't know if we have any listeners to this show, but hey, we're doing it anyway. It's not stopping us anyway, you know?
Absolutely. Definitely. Show up.
You know, and it's going to be a podcast, and I think that's where most of our listeners come from anyway. From Cornell, did I? Who was I talking to? Amanda. I was talking to Amanda last.
Yeah.
I forget what it was. I think it was Monday or last week when I would just scan like the previous shows, went to the archives to because we weren't getting a whole lot of live listeners apparently on Blog Talk. You know, just people who were listening live, just not a lot. And maybe the numbers are wrong, I don't know, but there was quite a few shows where there'd be 7, 6, 8, 11, and we'd do all this work and all this stuff and all this pre-production and put together all these, you know, spend hours and hours, literally hours in pre-production doing the show and post-production, and then you find out there's 6 people listening or 7. You're like, you know what the hell with this shit, you know? And and then you look at the numbers, and we get these analytics numbers that are showing, you know, 11,000, 22,000, 12,000, all over the world.
Yeah.
And still, Blog Talk was showing 0, 3, 5, 7, you know, the live radio show listener. So for kicks, I was talking to Amanda after the show and on Monday. And I went back just for kicks and looked at a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 5 months ago. And the numbers were skyrocketing. Now, I don't know if that means, it could mean one or two things. It could mean that it takes a really long time for Blog Talk to log how many actual listeners were live, or people go into our archives and listen to older shows because they love us so much they want to hear more, and they go back and listen to old. We don't know the answer. We don't know the answer. That maybe there's many, many, many more live listeners than we are capable of realizing and can acknowledge, and then it's reflected later how many live listeners were on the show. I don't know how it works. Yeah, I told you we don't know what we're doing here.
Well, maybe both is happening. Maybe both at the same time.
Yeah.
Not either like one or the other. It could be a mixture of both, but I don't know. I think that's fantastic. Regardless, right? That's exciting. Actually,
It's like people looking at a series. They're gonna start from the beginning and, you know, beginning of our broadcast.
That's exactly what I was saying to Andy. Yeah.
And it just comes back, you know, our platform, our initial question. We first got on the air. What was our driving motivation? What did we want to get out there and address with our listeners? What did we want to do and get out there and make a difference? What was important to us? What was like this earth-shattering, breaking thing that we want to accomplish to do the Andy Demandia show, to do Coast to Coast, to broadcast around the world? What was the question we wanted to ask and get a response from our worldwide audience? And the only thing
how long should sex last?
Mm-hmm. How long
should
sex last? And here we are.
Yeah, now we got all the listeners.
Yeah, right.
And then once we got him engaged, now we talk about things like vaccines, health, you know, Donald Trump, you know, things like that. You know,
I recently had sex with this guy.
That
oh, you did?
For some reason, we can have a religious show, and that for some reason is going to pop up.
we've avoided that. We've talked about religion, and you know, I don't hide the fact that I'm an atheist, and I've talked about that on the show many, many times. And there's people with actually who believe in whatever that is, or whoever that is, whether they believe in it, depending on what corner of the world you're in, I guess. And it's fine, and we all have respect for one another on the show, and hopefully in the world. Evidently, not so much in the world, a lot of places, which has caused a lot of bloodshed and war, and that's a whole other issue. But anyway, I don't know if we want to go there. There's a lot of block talk shows that address religion. There's many of them. You know, go listen to one.
We'll let them do it, Andy.
Yeah, let them do
we'll
it. Let them do it. You know?
I think this is a very sensitive subject, isn't it, for a lot of people, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a shame that it has to be that way. It really is. And if there's shows out there that are dedicated to talking about that, then and they want to specialize in that, let them. But I guess that's what I love about what we do. It's so varied and it's so much fun because it keeps changing up all the time and it keeps things interesting. And, you know, and I think that's what people love. They love things being mixed up. And I don't know. I'm just, you know.
You're right, because we're the type of show that'll talk about deodorant and people.
What kind of deodorant do you take?
Yeah, right. Yeah, we even talk about you know one thing I want to bring up, and you know, we all talk about, we're going to talk NFL, folks. I know we're advertised. If you saw the plug, I don't know how many of you saw, because it says we're going on 2 hours from when we actually are going on here, so it may not matter at this point, but. You know, NFL sports draft, we're going to get into it. We had a fun time with that on what day would it have been? What's today?
It was Monday.
Monday, thank you. All right, so Monday. Jeez, I don't even know what day it is. What's today? We had a real fun time on Monday talking NFL draft and picks and so forth, and we're going to talk more about the NFL when things get underway. Big football fan here. We'll talk about baseball. We are going to talk sports on this show, and we're also going to drift into cars, the latest and greatest technology, things like Tesla. We're going to get there. But before we do, a couple of things I want to bring up just quickly, because we should. And you know, we've talked about Donald Trump so much on the show for months on end, and it's been enjoyable. And I hope maybe we made a slight difference. I doubt it, but maybe we did. Who knows? We expressed our thoughts and opinions, and got other people's thoughts and opinions out there too. And I guess that's what you got to do. You know, that's what you got to do. As opposed to lying about reality, as opposed to lying what is going on in the world and making up things, we talk about what is really out there. And one of the things that's really out there is Donald Trump Jr. That's Donald Trump's son. In addition to his dad being in big legal problems and big legal trouble, guess what?
He is too, right?
Yepper.
Donald Trump Jr., a loudmouth idiot.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He's in big legal trouble because essentially he lied under oath to federal investigators earlier in the year, back in February. He gave testimony. February. He gave testimony to investigators looking into his dad's 2017 ball party. Remember, we talked about that way back when they charged the taxpayers, which is funds the inauguration festivities here in the U.S., the Trump Organization, who hosted all the parties and the balls and all that, and they charged the taxpayers, the inauguration committee, 2 to 4 times as much as it would if you and I walked in off the street and wanted the same exact thing at the same exact time. Yeah. So they said, wait a minute. Where's my little clip of Oprah? Hold on a minute. The whole event, basically alleging that Donald Trump and his family and his corporation made money illegally off the Trump inauguration speech, was, because the inauguration committee booked spaces and Trump hotels and Trump ballrooms and all that kind of stuff, you know, overpaying for market rates more than they could reasonably pay in other hotels in the D.C. area. Meaning that Donald Trump and his family made money fraudulently off the people, and that's obviously, one, illegal and very immoral, maybe more importantly immoral, activity. And Donald Trump Jr. played a role in planning the inauguration, and during his questioning, he basically said every step of the way that he didn't know something. or that he didn't recall something. Or in one crucial interval, he was asked if he knew one of the people who has turned into a cooperating witness with the federal government.
Wow.
He said, no, who? Who'd that be? Mm-mm. No, no, huh? No, sir. Mm-mm. Well, I don't know if he said it like that. Hey, Mo. Hey, Larry. Hey, Mo. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's almost certainly a lie. As a guy from Mother Jones noted under Donald Trump Jr. said, you don't well, the woman's name. I guess it would help if I said who the woman was who turned government. His name is Stephanie Winston Walkoff, as in Walkoff this show. No, excuse me. Stephanie Walkoff. He was a key cooperating witness in a lawsuit underway now, which alleges that the Trump family scammed. They scammed to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars, of taxpayer dollars.
Right.
Mm-mm-mm.
So that's naughty.
Anyway.
That's very naughty.
And what is
this
video out there?
I know.
You know what I did? I found, because I'm always looking for more Trump lies. I'm looking for it because it's important. And the guy's been a liar. Donald Trump himself has been, as we've addressed, as we've proven, as we've played clips, as we've talked about, investigated so much stuff on the show. And went way before Donald Trump was president, back in the 80s when he's building his Atlantic City hotel casinos, when he stiffed contractors then, when he employed immigrants, when he bought all his steel from China, and goes on in campaigning and makes up all these lies and promotes himself as this incredibly successful businessman when he's in bankruptcy. One thing after another, and I'm not going to keep going back there. But anyway, we've talked about it a lot during the show, obviously. I'm always kind of looking for what else. What's new? What's the latest, greatest? What's the lie now? How are the investigations going? How are the lawsuits that we've addressed on the show? How are they going? Are they being pursued? Is he going to be indicted, and for what? And, I want to stay on top of it so we can talk about it on the show at the appropriate time. So in that search, there was a video suggesting that Donald Jr. wasn't telling the truth, which wasn't all that interesting. But basically, he was personally thanking, again, it wasn't that interesting, if you want to see this, personally thanking and congratulating in front of, the Stephanie character, saying that she did a great job planning the event and she did such a fantastic job that it was going to be going down in history as one of the better inaugurations. And she deserves a lot of kudos for that. And that's certainly somebody...
Oh.
You might remember this woman for being such an amazing, in addition to all that, there are emails and things like that showing that Donald Trump Jr. likely knew a lot more than he was letting on when he was lying under oath. This matters for
the community.
Yeah, this matters. This matters. One is it matters because, ready for this? Ready for this? Donald Trump Jr. lying under oath, it's a crime, right? It's a federal crime.
Yes.
He's in big trouble.
Yes.
It's a federal crime.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it also matters because... He was like the first instance of Donald Trump grifting the public before he was even president. They planned the inauguration before he actually takes office, obviously, right? So there's Donald Trump Jr. I'm sure his dad knew what was going on, what the plans are for when he took office. Donald Trump has already started to scam the public like a grifter before he was technically president. He was already using the power of the presidency to enrich himself before he ever took office.
In his business, and his kids
were playing an indirect, if not direct, role in this grift, and that includes Donald Trump Jr. here. And it matters, most of all, because it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, right? Ready for this? Here's something more ridiculous. Donald Trump Jr. is a favorite to be a 2024 Republican nominee for President of the United States of America. What? Yes, I knew you'd say that.
Wow.
Your voice went up like 7 octaves. What?
I think everybody went. Everybody, I got quiet, and Amanda like went. She should be a singer by now.
If my voice went up that high, it would only mean one thing. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh,
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 ooh.
You
ooh.
Dirty dog!
Wow!
And it was so crazy. He's probably gonna win.
Trump Jr. could be the 2024 Republican nominee. You might call that stupid, but it is stupid. It's actually what this means is front runner, or one of the top two or three front runners, under Mike Pence, by the way. Mike Pence is number one right now. And not for president. Biden is so far ahead of anybody that you can't even look back and see anybody. That's how far back they are. That's how front running Joe Biden is right now. Did I say Donald Trump? I'll have to play that back.
Nope.
Anyway, Joe Biden is so far ahead of every. I may have said Donald Trump. Go figure. Anyway, I'll have to play it back. You obviously know who I mean. Joe Biden is so far ahead of everybody that you can't even see them in the vapor trails. So we're talking about Republican nominees as of right now, and the election is not until 2024. Hopefully we'll be on Sirius XM or somebody by then, broadcasting to the world on real radio by then. We better be by then. We better. Anyway.
yes.
Anyway. So, you know, Pence is number one. I think Ted Cruz is up there. But the Trumps, both Trumps are up there. And the fact that he lied under oath about the previous Republican president, albeit his dad, is systemic fraud running through the whole family. This is a big deal, and it shows. And it's a real big deal, you know. We've only begun to see the depravity of the Trump family, and we're only starting to see how much damage it can do if they continue to play a role in American politics. We've got to say goodbye to the Trump family, get them out of American politics, go live a happy, effective life. You know, stop your consistent routine of lying and frauding and misleading people and not paying your, you know, not obligating, putting yourself on the same obligations the rest of America has as taxpayers, and lying to the people, lying to your employees, lying to your colleagues. Everybody around you goes to jail or gets indicted. All your lawyers around you get indicted or have to find lawyers themselves. Jesus Christ, get a fucking life, would you? Go away.
Go back to Jurassic Park.
Go somewhere. Get the fuck out of Dodge. We're sick of you. We don't want you around anymore. We're tired of the Trump family in American politics. Go run your business. If you do something illegal, then let the American system do what it may in terms of prosecuting you accordingly. And if you're convicted, then you're convicted. If you're not, then you're not. But you know something? Just get the fuck out of here. All right? All right. Enough said. Now, what are we talking about this show? What are we talking about?
You mean apart from Trump?
we was talking about Jurassic Park.
We're talking films on Friday's show. You know, Friday's show.
Horror movies.
Friday's show.
Yeah.
Right?
But,
film. Scary
film. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
This could be good because it doesn't matter if we have a live audience for this because our podcasts start downloading the show. As soon as we put it up, I've seen that. Boom. We put the show up. Boom. People start downloading it right away, which is kind of so cool.
Really?
But,
that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, because I don't know where the analytics come from, but
shit.
You know something? In this time zone, I guess this figures out, maybe the podcast calculators or the powers that be, whoever, the analytics, I don't know how that shit works. But anyway, when I see the numbers, and I tell you guys the numbers pretty frequently on the podcast distribution, not the live show, but how many people hear the live show as a podcast. The numbers, for example, today's... It's still the 5th of May in your country, right, Amanda? It's not midnight yet there, right?
Yes. No, it's still the 5th on it.
We're all on the same day. That's lovely. That's lovely.
I know.
Anyway,
it's so refreshing.
It is. So, but what happens, like, when I put the podcast out there, it shows how many podcasts there were on the 5th, even though the 5th isn't over yet, and also shows the downloads on the 6th, although it's still the 5th. Here. I don't know how they do that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So... It is based on that I know that as soon as we put this thing out there, and you know, we have to download it, we have to EQ it, make sure it's good, acceptable for broadcast quality for podcasts. We do that. We take the show, we download it into the equivalent of a DAW, and we add some compression, maybe a little reverb. You know, we do little things. We don't really edit too much out of it, unless we're way over time and stuff. We have to cut some spaces out and stuff. But basically, those of you who are hearing this as a podcast, you know, truth be known, that you're hearing, you know,
it takes a lot of work.
It takes a whole lot of work. And
yeah.
You know something, when we download the show directly from Blog Talk, if you're hearing it now, that's how we get it before we do anything to it. It's not bad. It's not bad at all.
No.
What we do to it, if you're interested in getting into podcasting, if you want to create a show, first of all, contact us because we can help you do it. And we'd love to have you on as a guest and talk about the technology of podcasting and might be able to help you along there. If you want to do a podcast on your own, you want to get on Blog Talk Radio, email us. Andy Demand Your Show at
Yes.
Andy
Demand.
What? Thank you. Andy.
Hey, Andy, you forgot to tell them our specialty is editing your podcast also.
Yeah, we will do that. We have a full recording studio and amazing capability, and a video studio, actually. We have all that, and we can help you for very, very, very reasonable rates. In other words, it costs us very little money to do it. Very reasonable rates to us. Yeah, because no matter how much we charge you, you're not going to pay anyway. Listen, but so we'll pay. No, that's why it's been so
we'll
far.
Pay.
No, But in actuality, we can edit your podcast. We can guide you. We can help you and help you do it. You know, if you want to do it, come on board. Come on board Blog Talk Radio. We'll give you some. We've been doing this over a year now. We know how to do this and how to make it effective and how to do a show. But when we get our own Blog Talk Radio show downloaded to us, it goes through recording studio. And we're able to give it a little bit more radio quality sound when it goes out all across the world on various platforms. And that's what you're hearing now. If you're hearing the podcast, you're hearing something that went through a recording studio platform and a little bit compression, a little reverb, a little mixing, a little dynamic compression and various levels of frequencies if need be. Some space is cut out and things like that. If anything is that we feel may have happened that is just incredibly inappropriate after hearing it, we're going to cut that out. We can make those changes. Most of the time we don't, by the way. There's very, very, very few times where we edit anything out of the show, except when we just go too far overboard with fuck this, fuck that. Know what I'm saying? So, this is a family show. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You know, when we're mad as hell, yeah. We can't take this shit anymore.
I want to get into sports because we're advertising this as a sports show. We've yet to talk about sports. We are. But
actually, we was advertising sports and muscle cars and all types of cars.
Can I just say one thing before we get into that? One thing.
Of course.
Well, I promise we'll get into it after this. I just want to say one more thing because we're just talking about what we edited out of the show. And I'm a dad, so I stayed home dad for a while, due to my employment enabled me to be a stay-at-home dad. Being unemployed, but anyway, my profession of being a self-employed entertainer, I was able to be a stay-at-home dad, and when from the kids were in the best, also when the kids were bassists, they were not bassists when the kids were in the bassinet, they weren't bassists at the time. That came later. When my babies were bassists.
The family, huh?
When you were born, they were bassists. I started right then and there. Starting when my kids were bassists, I was a stay-at-home dad, Then they went on to the trombone, the tuba, that kind of thing. But anyway, so it's always been okay to me for my kids to curse, because cursing in order for a curse word, what's it mean? Okay, if you say fuck, that's the act of humans having sexual intercourse. I don't have a problem with that. Anybody have a problem with that out there?
Yes.
Anybody have a problem with fucking?
No.
I hope not.
And we all got here. Guess how we all got here? Somebody fucked. And you're here because they did.
Yes.
All right?
That's right.
We all said we all got fucked. You're damn right we all got fucked. Because our parents got fucked. Everybody we know got fucked. The whole
world
got
screwed.
Yeah, I feel like I get fucked over regularly, believe me.
All right. So
then we still here.
My friends could hear me on the phone when I have a car getting repaired or something like that, and then I hang up the phone from the repair place and they hear me, just sitting around living, I better call the repair shop to see if what my car's doing, I gotta go pick it up or something. And I hang up the phone, I'm like, oh, the fucking reader, and the fuck this and the fuck that, and they laugh because I'm so like, I'm like, fucking this, then they fucking did this, and they fucking did that, and they fucking did, that's just how I am. I don't mean anything. It doesn't make me
mad. Oh, what the fuck, right?
I've sinned, I'm so sorry, I've sinned, oh my god, oh my god, strike me with lightning, oh my god. Oh, anyway, you could say not every other word out of my mouth is a curse word, but there's been times where it almost has been, and sometimes still is, not as bad as it used to be. And not that it's a bad thing, it's not. So my point being is that it's just an outlet of emotion, and you can't make it mean anything, because fucking to me is a good thing. It's always been a good thing. When I say, oh, fuck, I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. Right?
I love it, Andy, I love it. I love
Hell
it.
Hell yeah. God damn it. Jesus. Well, fuck that shit. And you know what I'm saying? So when my kids were growing up as infants, I would be very free with my language. Fuck, shit, god damn it, fuck, god, Christ, almighty, you know, God damn it, fuck that, fuck this. You know, my kids are growing up. And so, you know, if somebody out now here's the thing. I was very careful, and I know how people are, and I'm very respectful of other people and going to people's houses and how I am in public, and I'd behave accordingly unless somebody really got to know me well. And I'm probably exaggerating a little bit. You know, I'm not a guy who went around, you know, every other word you hear me out in the street saying, fuck all this shit. I was never that way. So I'm having some fun with this a little bit again, too. So let me have a little bit of fun. But so I'm exaggerating a little, I'll admit it. All right. But I was still – but just, I'm just making a point. I'm making a point, right? So so when my kids grew up, they heard daddy – cursing all the time, and it's not a bad thing, you know. Say oh cheesecake. This doesn't seem as powerful as oh fuck, oh sandwich, oh goddamn sandwich. You know, oh bird poop. That's not so bad.
Fiddlesticks.
Oh fiddlesticks. Right? Why? Oh fuck. Well, fuck. You're making it mean something. You're making fuck mean something. You're making it mean something bad. Since when is fucking bad?
Yeah, true.
You know, we've all screwed. Or most of us have.
When you have a bad fuck.
Yeah, can have a bad fuck. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's you're making it mean something bad.
But
right?
It's not.
Hell no. So anyway, seems pretty good to me. I don't know what you're doing, but whatever it is, I'm liking it. What do you mean? Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I think you're liking it. Woo,
you got it. Yeah. So,
actually, I've probably been done within 5 seconds.
So what's my point on all this? Well, I hope I made some kind of point to somebody and how I feel about, you know, you don't shuttle your sweet children, your kids. Don't shelter them. Don't hide them. I never, you know, 9/11 happened. My oldest was going away to preschool. We heard it on ABC. Jennings on the ABC News was on my FM radio. We heard it as it was happening. I didn't hide it from my kid who's in preschool. At that point, I said there are bad people in the world and there are good people in the world. There are bad. Let's talk about that later. We'll talk about what bad people, what evil is, and it's important that you know that now. Growing up, even though you're fucking 2 years old, you know what I mean. So, did I do that again? Okay, forget that. Even though you're 2 years old, I stand corrected. So I never hid anything from my kids. And so here's what happens. This whole point is getting to this. A whole big dissertation coming to this. So riding in the car one day, and it's all quiet, my youngest at that time, who was a year maybe old, started speaking at 6 months old or something like that, or whatever it was, you know, 8 months. I forget. Anyway, just started speaking. And my oldest was, you know, about 4 years ahead of her, and we're all in the car together. And it's all quiet in the car, and my little one is in the car carrier seat doing something to entertain herself. And it's all quiet. We're all quiet. We're driving somewhere. And the car's quiet. All of a sudden, you hear this little voice in the back who hasn't really not said much in her life because she just was learning how to communicate. And all of a sudden, totally quiet, you hear this, "Oh, shit." My wife and I look at each other. We just kind of looked at each other. I think Justine, who was 4 or 5 at the time, the three of us all look at each other. We shrug our shoulders and, look forward, continue. We're like, Now, some parents would go back, "Whoa, don't say that word. Oh, don't express your anger. Don't express your frustration like that. Oh, don't mimic what you hear in the world. Oh, it's a sin. You shouldn't talk that way." What's more important is for them to talk appropriately in front of an appropriate environment. You don't go to your grandparents' house and say fucking shit. You don't do it. Well, my mother, you can. My mother said you can and you have permission. Do you have permission to do that wherever you are? Do the in-laws, do the family members, do the friends, do the neighbors and relatives that you visit, do they give you permission to speak that way? In which case, it's nothing more than an expression of anger. And so fuck it. You know? What the hell?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's the... Anyway, so maybe this isn't a family-oriented show, this episode. We are going to talk about the NFL. God knows how we – anyway. All right. Oh, are we done
it.
Yet?
I love it. Fuck it.
Am I done? Fuck it. Am I done yet? So again, I just want to emphasize that it's important not to shut your kids up, for God's sake. Let them express themselves like you do. Let's do this. Let's draw a fine line. All right, so you shouldn't curse. You shouldn't curse. You shouldn't say a bad word. Don't say a naughty word. Shouldn't say a naughty word. But suddenly, when can you? When you're with friends, when you're 16? Tell me when the line is, folks. You call me, 515-605-9888. Tell me at when is the line in chronological order in your life, at what age, at what birthday, is it suddenly acceptable to say a curse word? Tell me when. And what defines that line? They
yes,
can say fuck at
18
when they know what fuck means. They probably already fucked somebody and loved it and are still doing it and maybe on birth control. That's when it's okay? Well, oh, don't say it when you're 12, but you can say it when you're 16. What the fuck? What? You tell me where is that line? Where's the line? Why can't you, instead of saying don't say the word, how come you can't when they're 2 and 3 and 4 years old, start teaching them what language is appropriate when and where as opposed to what you can say? Because there are certain environments where you have permission to be able to talk that way. I can guarantee my mom, 91 years old, we talk sex, we curse, she's fuck this, fuck that. That's how I grew up. I'm not inappropriate. I know to be responsible. I've known since I was a child, since I was single-digit ages, what I could say when and where. And I did.
Oh, yeah. Kids can hear it from school as well. They hear it from, you know,
they hear it from their friends.
They're going to repeat it. They're going to say it. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, like you said, if you tell kids when it's appropriate to do it and when it's not appropriate to do it, and some people do see it as disrespectful. And, mm-hmm. you know, you have got to be respectful of others. But in certain situations, then, you know, sometimes you just can't help but say fuck it or shit or whatever
yeah.
it is. I mean, I curse
right.
more.
They hear the music. They hear the music.
Yeah, I say it more than I should.
Yeah, they hear the music. They hear music. These kids are what, elementary school, they're not listening to rap? Of course they're hearing rap.
Mm.
They're hearing the N-word every day. They're hearing
yeah.
And they don't want to hear it.
And that word is worse to me than fuck. I can't say that word. You know, we talked about it on the show, and even when we read it in a news report, I have trouble saying that word. I have trouble saying I do. I don't know. I just have trouble saying it.
Me
I do.
Too. Me too.
Yeah. I can't. If I have to read it to somebody, I have to say the N-word. I can't say the word. But I can say fuck.
Yeah,
You tell me that fuck is worse than the N-word, and you hear the N-word on radio every fucking day?
You're right.
I don't
come
get
on,
it.
Come on,
come
on, grow the fuck
it.
Up.
I don't get it.
Grow the fuck up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Get
a life.
Definitely.
Right?
Yes,
right?
Of course.
God damn it. Jesus Christ.
They had a group
anyway.
Called NWA.
That's the National Basketball League, isn't it? Us NWA.
No, NWA no. was a rap group that sold over 75 million copies worldwide. You think it's only black people that bought it?
No,
you
know, exactly.
I was in a music in a music office in a production office one time. You know, way back when in my early 20s, I was producing concerts, and I got hired. I actually got hired to consult with a black-owned, African-American-owned, or what did I say, minority-owned, company that was getting into producing concerts. Mostly they wanted black artists, you know, and they were, you know, R&B artists, and they were going to promote them in Philadelphia, and they had financial backing. We were going to do all these shows to compete with Electric Factory. Mm. And I got hired because I did 40 shows, you know, booked the act, did all the advertising, did all promotion, was hanging around with major stars, you know, limousine riding, did all the riders, produced the shows. I had a financial backer in my very early 20s. And I got hired. His last name was Green. What was his first name? I forget. Something Green. But anyway, so I was the only white guy. They hired me, you know, and I was in the office down there in 13th and Cornell, you know, Philadelphia. Their office was at 13th and Chestnut, right around there.
Yes.
13th,
yes.
Right around there. And this was in the 70s, you know, somewhere in the 70s. And, you know, 13th and Chestnut was, I know there was a new dance place right next door. How do I know that? Anyway, no.
yeah.
How do you know that, Andy? Anyway,
I don't know. I don't even know.
Yeah, there was. 13th, was it 13th and Chestnut? I think it was. Or 13th.
Well, you sure I wasn't? Yeah, I think it was 13th. Was it 13th and Walnut? Was it?
Yeah. Maybe, how do you know?
It's all coming out of the woodwork now.
It was. Remember, it was definitely on 13th, and it wasn't very popular. You go, oh, excuse me, no.
Keep talking.
Fuck it. Okay, I'll tell you. I was in a couple of times, right? And you go in. And it wasn't very popular. There was not a whole lot of people. It was kind of you walk down the stairs. It was, you know, nude something on the outside. I forget what it said. Or maybe it didn't say nude on the outside. Maybe that's why nobody was there. But you had to know about it. And you walk downstairs. And just a few overweight new dancers. Maybe that's why it was doing there. But anyway, there wasn't very many people there, but I remember the place. Okay, so their office was on 13th, right next door, practically at this place. And I was in there one time, getting back to my point. How often I drift off course, I'm sorry. Getting back to my point here, that I was in the office being the only white guy, and the owner said, you don't have to be black to be a N-word. You were just talking about business and different things. You don't have to be black to be a, you know what I mean, N-word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say the word. Jeez.
Okay, well, you don't have to be black. He said, you don't have to be black to be a nigger.
Yeah.
But all blacks were there. I was the only white guy in the room. Wait, they weren't talking about me, by the way. They were, let me make, I better make that clear. They were not talking.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, Andy West. So you're the only white guy, and they said, you don't have to be black to be a nigger, and you're the only white guy in the room. What were you doing? No, we were talking about an outside contractor, I forget what it was. But we were all looking around, some proposal that came to us and how we were being ripped off in some way or something, or somebody was doing something on the cheap. Whatever it was, it prompted that you don't have to be black to be an N-word. And, we'll talk about, it kind of brings me up some ideas about what we might be able to talk about as a subject that we're going to road. That's kind of how we get on these subjects. That's how we get on the sports subject, which hopefully we'll get to today.
It's best to be honest. Our show is honesty.
Yeah, it's honesty.
Yeah.
It's honesty. Yeah.
There's no time to be, sugarfooting and doing all this other stuff. Just, that's how we feel.
Yeah. But, Cornell and I have discussed this, a lot of times. Cornell, grew up not far from where I live before I moved here to California in an incredibly amazing area with amazing people and amazing schools. Mostly white friends, I think, Cornell, right?
Majority of my friends.
Majority,
yeah,
right?
Still today,
right. And we had a discussion, I think I'll leave with who blank for the moment, with somebody who was involved in the show way back when, who was angry. We were on this conference call and expressed anger at Cornell because his environment, growing up as a black guy in our world, and wasn't exposed to what this guy was angry about, with so much anger and so much, black versus white in a way. And
my
Cornell
parents,
would say, and I don't mean to be speaking on your behalf, Cornell, and but Cornell would say this, I didn't see that. It wasn't my life. I didn't see it. How do you expect me to be angry and say things that, and I'm just listening. I was on the conference call and I'm listening to Cornell speak, and this is what I heard, right, Cornell? Remember that conversation?
Definitely. My parents shift me out to different, they wanted me to learn all cultures, and by me learning all different type of cultures, I went to a school that was prominently, at least when I went, it was like, I would say 87% white and the rest was black, but we are, all my friends are majority white, and my parents, I hung out in Elkins Park, and, and a lot of people came up to me like, yo, how can you, my thing is this, how can you know about something when you don't basically never was involved with it or look for it, if that make any sense. It was like, okay, I'm from the, okay, even though I'm this person, so-called color, I wasn't brought up that way. You understand what I'm saying? So if I'm not brought up that way, how do I suppose, coming out my eyes, how do I suppose to look for that?
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah,
sense. It was great being a fly on the wall, as part of that conversation. I was, it was a three-way phone conversation. And listening to Cornell and this other guy speak about their life experiences. And it was, for me...
Yeah.
And Cornell talked about it after the other guy got off the phone, and we talked about it at length, and we still do every once in a while. I mean, Cornell and I are like best of friends. We've never met in person. Amanda, Cornell, and I we're a family. I don't care what color skin is. I don't care. Now, I do care about Amanda's accent. That's a whole other story. But.
And remember we had the conference call with that same person, Andy, and he was telling me that I was, you know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Basically,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You're not representing, it's all types of
right.
crazy stuff. But my thing is this, if you brought up in a situation that you don't understand or look for, you see it, but you don't understand, okay, I'm on Broad Street, right? And I'm mm-hmm. driving down the street and I see it, but in my eyesight, I'm not looking for that because I'm basically looking for my environment where I'm supposed to go. I might have to go and play some squash or, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm
mm-hmm.
going to play basketball, play soccer, or going
mm-hmm.
to music theory school. So when
yeah.
you're driving down the street, I'm not looking for all that and this and that, what I'm supposed to be looking for because of my color. I'm looking for the destination that I have to go to get to school.
Yeah.
Do that make
yeah.
any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it does. Hey, guys, I've got a proposal. First of all, I don't know if anybody's listening to the show. It just might be the three of us because the way we did this particular episode, in all honesty, and I can go in the podcast and edit what I just said out and just continue the conversation. So let's
no,
– if you're listening, call us at 515-605-9888 or drop us an email. Let us know that you're listening live now, andyandamandyashow@gmail.com. Just take you 2 seconds. Let us know, andyandamandyashow@gmail.com. Let us know that you're listening now. I'd like to know right now. I want to take a live poll. Who is listening to this show? You'd really be helping us if you took 2 seconds out of your day, out of your time, and just andyandamandyashow@gmail.com, say, I'm listening to you on Blog Talk. Would you please do that? You don't have to participate in the show. You don't have to agree with what we're saying or anything like that. Just let us know that you're on board right now. Cornell, because I want to
yes.
bring this up, getting back to what we were talking before.
Yes.
The same conversation. That guy said that you weren't a black guy.
Yes, that dude said I wasn't a black guy. Well, actually, he said me and my wife is not a black guy. My
yeah.
wife went to prep school, got a master's degree, went to all different types of schools that they didn't know further education. So we're not considered black.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Unreal.
And you know what? Like my friend C1 always tell me, that means you're doing something great. That's
yeah.
what he always tell me. You know, it's like everybody is my thing is this, Andy and Amanda. I came on this earth as Cornell Butler. I never chose the race.
Right.
No.
Do that make any sense?
Yeah.
You
exactly.
get it?
Exactly.
You know, and that's what
yeah.
makes the whole discussion and the whole this hate thing, you know, to not like somebody because of the color of their skin or the religion or the way they talk or the, I guess the big crisis in America and around the world is in fact race. So you can't
but
deny
that.
But
what is race? Who's to say that race is race? Who
yeah.
created race?
And I don't, I was born Jewish. I was born Jewish. And in my life, I've heard,
well,
of course, I can't.
Andy, who's to say that you was born Jewish? How do they know you was born Jewish?
Well,
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, but here's the thing.
Who created this thing, white, black, orange? Who created this?
Who created this? But here's the thing about, you know, being born Jewish is this, that being a Jew, I'm an atheist Jew. I don't believe in the existence of any God, all right? But anyway, I am Jewish. I'm still Jewish. You know, if I converted to Protestant, if I started going to church or whatever, it's not like I haven't been to church, and, you know, I'm married to a big Catholic family. If I converted, I'm still Jewish. Because it's almost like because Jewish is more than a believing in a religious system. You were born Jewish. You were born, it's culture. It's a 5,000-year history of a people. You know, it's not a religious
okay.
belief. It's right? Okay? So that's what I mean. So if I can practice Catholicism, I can practice Buddhism, I can practice Hinduism, I can practice sex. No, excuse me. I can practice, I got off track, can't one-track mind. Give me religion here. give me religion.
Baptist,
thank you. I can practice baptism. Isn't that something you get? You get a baptism? Oh, I don't know. Anyway,
yeah.
I can practice any of these things.
Pentecostal, okay, Pentecostal.
but I'm still Jewish, right? So being Jewish, I've been conscious my whole life of anti-Semitism, of hatred. Hitler marched 6 million of, if you wanted to call it my people, my whatever, my hereditary, you want to, 11 million people total, all right, 11 million. 6 million happened to be Jews into gas chambers and executed them because they were Jews.
Yeah.
Nothing more than that, because they fucking happened to be born Jewish into the gas chamber you die, then you get put into an oven. Or you have to dig a big trench, go in the trench, and we're going to shoot you all down with machine guns. Because why? Yeah. Oh, didn't we tell you you're born Jewish? That's why. You're Jewish. You happen to be. Why do we hate you so much? Because in the 30s, successful stores and businesses were happening and flourishing, and most of those stores, or a good many of them, were owned by Jews. How dare they?
Yeah.
How dare they become successful? How dare they develop technologies and rockets and write companies and propose books and write poetry and be successful in the arts and grow out of nothing and become amazingly successful out of such a small population? How dare they do that? We're going to kill all of you, right? So I was exposed to that as far back as I remember. And I've been in public places and I've talked about things that were said to me personally. Oh, you're not Jewish, are you? Oh, the house across the street, there go the Jew lights, not knowing I was Jewish. There go the Jew lights, right? So I've heard this kind of thing my whole life. And as Cornell said, we were born how we were born. So somebody's born black.
Yeah.
So what? Why should it make a difference? Why?
You're a contemptible lowlife.
And this question has been asked and studied and dissertations have been written and psychologists and sociologists and, we're going to come back to that question forever. Why does it make black lives matter? Why should there be distinction between a black life and any other life? Because there happen to be black. Why?
Sick, stupid, ridiculous, obnoxious, vulgar, disgusting, whatever the case may be.
Why is that?
Even the same race can be racist towards each other. White people are still just as bad to other white people, and the same with the black community or the Jewish community. Doesn't matter who it is. It's just an excuse to hate on each other.
It's an excuse to hate?
Yeah, it is. It's just an excuse to hate on each other, and we use it in any way we can because we're frustrated with our own goddamn lives that, we feel we have to take it out on other people and make them feel like shit about themselves because we're not happy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we hate and we kill each other. What other species on this planet kills each other? We can go back to the dinosaurs. The dinosaurs occupied this earth for 70 million years. We haven't been bipedal for more than 4 million years. We've been walking on two legs for 4 million years as a developing species. And as humanoids, as who we are right now, have only been around for a couple hundred thousand years. The dinosaurs existed for 70 million years.
And
we're talking about a God that only that puts people on this world to kill each other, to hate, because of our skin color. Where's the God? Where?
Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man.
How'd this happen?
See, I'm not one of these people who's worried about everything.
How did this happen? Dinosaurs didn't kill each other just to kill each other. They killed each other because they had to eat.
Interfering with nature.
All the animals. You go to why did they kill each other? To feed their young, to feed themselves. Not out of hate. Oh, you got more stripes than the other one does. I'm going to kill you because of it.
Yeah. Or your car is better than another person. I'm going to kill you for it.
Yeah.
Or you might be educated and all that stuff because you sound certain, have a certain tone or mannerism in your voice. You not consider that person. You know what I mean? It's just like, dude, it's crazy. It's unbelievable. What do you think about it, man?
Are these fucking people kidding me?
I get so fucking furious with it all. I really do.
Fuck you,
I do.
There is a God, it has to be a man. No woman could or would ever fuck things up like this.
I do get fucking furious about it all because I've grown up around this shit as well. I've seen my friends of all different races get abused by other people, and it just made me so angry because I'm not that type of person. I hate seeing people hate other people. I really do. So when I've witnessed it and, my blood's been boiling, I've stuck up for people, I've been abused, I've been bullied, I know what it's like just as much as anybody else to experience that kind of shit. And there is no excuse for it other than we look to target other people because we're miserable, unhappy, insecure, and we don't know how to deal with it. So we take out on everybody else.
Yes.
Look at it. Look at it this way, guys. We changed the whole atmosphere. A Jewish person, a black person, and a Caucasian have a great show together.
And Cornell, let's even define it further. A black Jewish person. Not just a black person, a black Jewish person.
Yes.
Right? So you know, and we have Amanda there and Cornell there and myself here. And here we are, you know, here we are. And I'm hoping that these words that we speak somehow kind of get into your psyche and say, you know, you guys, what would happen if you helped somebody instead of hurt them?
Yeah.
What kind of world would that be? What kind of world would it be?
But I got to tell you, the longer you live, the more you look around, the more you realize something is fucked up.
I tell you what, it takes a special kind of person to go against everything they're feeling, if it's hatred towards another race or whatever, and stop and say, you know what, this is wrong of me, I'm going to make that change. And if they do it, then you're fucking amazing, and you deserve total respect for that, because more people need to do that. We need to understand where these fucking conditions come from. We need to understand that they don't have to be our choice. We don't have to say, oh yeah, I hate that black person, I hate that white person. If we want to change anything, how are we going to change it unless we start changing the way we think and we respond to these situations? We need to change who we are to make that happen.
Yeah,
and it ain't going to happen
that,
by standing there saying,
right.
Oh yeah, look, you're just being like them, you're doing this. You know, get a grip, understand what people have fed into your mind and into your heart, and make that change. That's the only way anything is ever going to change. It's not going to change by throwing all these racist comments and these hatred comments out there about other races. Make the difference. Make the change. And when you make that in yourself, other people's going to notice. They're going to start taking it on themselves and start making that change too. That's how it happens.
But I got to tell you, the longer you live, the more you look around, the more you realize something is fucked up.
You lead by example. Always. It ain't going to change with all these thoughts and ideas, and it's just not. You've got to make that change. Ah.
Yeah. Yeah, really. You know, and there, you know.
I'm sorry for sounding like John Lennon.
I like this. Yeah.
We have an audience out there. They're thinking, you know, they're going,
these people are sick.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Nobody wants to think or believe that there's something in themselves that is wrong. Because nobody likes to feel that we've done something wrong, we've said something wrong, that we've thought something wrong. But the moment we start looking at ourselves and where we can make those little changes, right, you're going to feel shame and embarrassment for like a few minutes. Big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, having that type of humility is good for us. It shows us who we are, where we're going, what we're capable of, and what we can change to better ourselves and our environment and every other little thing in our life, our mindsets, our jobs, relationships, sex, whatever you want to label it. As soon as you start analyzing yourself, you can change absolutely anything. It can be done. It is being
done.
People prove it every single day that it can be done. So just take that moment of humility and saying, am I as bad as this person? Have I said those type of things to someone else? Am I adding to the situation in the environment and the way things are going? Am I not? I don't know. These are healthy questions to ask ourselves. And we shouldn't be ashamed to feel that shame or embarrassment just that one moment, because we say, okay, I did that. I accept I did that. I'm no longer going to be that. I'm going to make this change. It's okay to have that humility. It's okay to say I did this wrong. You don't have to tell everybody about it. Recognize it yourself and just make those changes, make those improvements. That's all it takes. You're not going to be judged for it. And don't judge yourself for it just for being like you are or have been. You know, don't do that, because you're just going to make yourself worse. Just recognize that there is a problem, how you can move past that problem and make those changes.
Yes, definitely. Amen.
You know, really, I mean, so well. Isn't she good? So well stated.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm just, you know, anything I express, or you know, I can only ever go on personal experience. I'm not going to preach how it should be. I'm only preaching because I've recognized these things in myself. I've fucked up in the past. I've said racist things to people when I was kids, because I have everybody, my friends around me, saying racist things. When you're a kid, you try to fit in, you try to do these things, but you know deep down inside it doesn't feel right. And the moment I felt it, I felt ashamed of myself. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to do that again. And I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
You know,
so I know.
I grew,
yeah.
I grew up with my parents, especially when my mom went back to college after she had three kids, bing, bang, boom, and went as an undergrad back to college. Eventually down the road got a doctorate. I was a university professor. But anyway, she was an undergrad. My dad was a medical resident or intern. They didn't have two nickels to rub between the two of them, but they did manage to hire what we used to call a maid. I mean, we called them maids back then. I don't, you know, it's probably an inappropriate word to use, but we say, you know, do you have a maid? You know, and a lot of our neighbors where we live there, we have a maid that comes. We have a maid that comes. And most, I mean, always, almost always, the maid happened to be black, and they don't take the bus or the Maxwell cab, and they come to your house. And even as an infant, as a baby, the woman who took care of me, her name was Alice. She used to call me old man. I used to crawl around. I still have visions of this, believe it or not. You know, crawling around. When you're crawling, how old are you? But I remember this. I remember her calling me. She'd say, "Come on, old man. Come on, old man. Come on, old man." And I'd be crawling behind her with my blanket. "Come on, old man." And when I first started speaking, because I was with Alice so much, I had a black dialect like that. I used to say, "Give me a spoon." And my first words were, "Open ye dough." And I spoke like Alice. I really did. But
I don't know a black person that say that. Open the dough.
Open the dough.
But I'm going back. I'm going back
like
to, you
know. Well, open the dough.
It was my very young
words. Up the door for it because I gotta go and get me some food.
Isn't anybody else interested in upholding standards? Our world is coming crumbling down.
My very first words, guys. My very first words. No joke. Ask my mom. Ask my mom. My very first words was open the door.
Well, let's see how wonderful it is when a watermelon rinds come flying out the window.
Open the door.
And they all laughed at me because I talked like Alice, who took care of me, right? And they had to train me out of a black. I used to laugh in my high chair like Alice. I used to laugh like her and talk like her. Give me a spoon, anything, Andy Spoon, right? So they. But here's the thing: we always had, up until I was in almost junior high school, we always had people who came. You know, one girl, Ruth. Ruth lived with us forever. She was great. Nobody ever saw her go to the bathroom. We all figure, how did she go to the bathroom? Nobody ever saw her go in the bathroom. But anyway, it's a whole other conversation. And she used to make us dinner, and we want more dessert. She'd say, "Ask your mom." We have to yell, "Mom, can we have more dessert? Did you eat your dinner?" "Yeah, okay. You got more dessert." "Okay, Ruth, have more dessert." But anyway, Ruth took care of us, the three of us growing up. It's not like he didn't have parents who didn't. I want to make that clear. Our parents were very caring and, you know, very, you know, on with us all the time. But we always had help. We always had help. So most of the help we had growing up, almost all except one that I can think of, were all black women, since I was born. So I grew up with a black person in my house the whole time. So when I went out into the world and saw black people, it didn't matter. It was all, there was no distinction. Oh, this person's black, this person's white. I grew up with them. It was part of how I grew up.
That's a great way to, that's a great way to grow up.
It didn't matter.
It really is.
The thing about it, and that's how everybody should look at everybody. That's how I do.
Look through any window, what do you see?
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, you know, I had this neighbor who lived a little further down the road from me. She came from Kenya, and I was always fascinated with her hair. She was an amazing woman. She had a son who was in the Kenyan army. And he was never at home because he was over there doing his thing. And whenever she saw my family loved her and adored her. You know, we got on so well. I always looked up to her. And she was always one of my favorite people. And she said, "Oh, yeah, come around. I'll make you a proper Kenyan curry." And we were like, "Yeah, let's do this." My God, her food was incredible. And I loved the way she spoke, the way she was, the way she looked. Everything about her was incredible. And never once did I look at her and think, "That's a black lady. She's different from me."
"I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too."
You know? Mm-hmm. I loved her for exactly who she was.
That's right.
I can tell you a funny story. My dad was a pulmonary physician. I go on about his accomplishments. And, you know, the reason why cigarettes are banned and the reason why they had warning labels on the box of cigarettes is because of my father's work. As a matter of fact, Anthony Fauci and my dad and mom were, you know, Anthony Fauci, when he was at NIH, gave my father a $4 million grant to do continue emphysema and pulmonary research and show how cigarette smoking was bad. So that's all my father's work. That's another story. Okay, so here's the point. So my dad, a pulmonary doctor, you examine the chest, right? Okay.
What knockers.
Oh, thank you, doctor.
So
yes.
my dad has this elderly Jewish lady who's, this is, my mom tells the story so well. She's funny as hell. So my dad is a young pulmonary physiologist, has a patient. My dad must have been, what, in his 30s at the time, whatever. An elderly Jewish lady comes in. She's sitting on the table, and he needs her to drop the top of her blouse so he can stethoscope or do whatever. You know, believe me, it's all just stethoscope.
You're right. Right.
That sounded weird. My father needed her to drop her blouse, and you know, so. But anyway, so this lady came in, and she's a Jewish elderly lady. And so my dad said, I need you to drop she had a bra on her. She needed to drop your, whatever it was she's wearing. And she looks at him and says, you're Jewish. You're Jewish.
Wow.
In a Yiddish accent, you know, the old country accent, my mom does it really good. You're Jewish. You know, that's okay. That's okay. You're Jewish. It's okay. Anyway, but, you know, there's these, you know, and my point here being is that, you know, and we talked about this a few shows ago too. Could Don Rickles make a living today? Could Richard Pryor? I remember having that conversation on the show. All these comedians that made their lives and were funny as hell would have been laughing hysterically because, you know, Richard Pryor's out there making, you know, calling himself the N-word and all this and fun and George Carlin and all these people.
They're only words. It's the context that counts. It's the user. It's the intention behind the words that makes them good or bad. The words are completely neutral. The words are innocent. I get tired of people talking about bad words and bad language. Bullshit. It's the context that makes them good or bad. The context that makes them good or bad. For instance, you take the word nigger. There is absolutely nothing wrong with the word nigger in and of itself. It's the racist asshole who's using it that you ought to be concerned about. We don't care when Richard Pryor or Eddie Murphy say it. Why? Because we know they're not racist. They're niggers. Context. Context. We don't mind their context because we know they're black. Hey, I know I'm whitey, the blue-eyed devil, patio-fade, gray boy, honky motherfucker myself. Don't bother my ass. They're only words. You can't be afraid of words that speak the truth, even if it's an unpleasant truth, like the fact that there's a bigot and a racist in every living room on every street corner in this country. I don't like words that hide the truth. I don't like words that conceal reality. I don't like euphemisms or euphemistic language. And American English is loaded with euphemisms because Americans have a lot of trouble dealing with reality. Americans have trouble facing the truth. So they invent a kind of a soft language to protect themselves from it. And it gets worse with every generation.
Don Rickles, Mr. Ward himself, who were just there hysterical. Yeah. Oh God! Remember, Mr. Rogers was
Gumby Dan.
How the hell are you going to put on a show and not have me in the show until now? I should have been in every damn sketch from the top. I'm the one that made that Eddie Murphy a star. He was just a regular coon boy till I saw him. So I met him.
Well, we just thought people wouldn't know who you were.
How the hell are people not gonna know who I am? I'm Gumby, damn it.
Gumby. and
Gumby, damn it.
Gumby, and who was Buckwheat? Buckwheat? Remember Buckwheat?
Buckwheat.
Once Buckwheat sings a song, it's eternally his.
It died. Dead a diver. Dan on the dad. It died. Man a day
And who played Mr. Rogers? Black Mr. Rogers. Remember Black Mr. Rogers?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor. Could you be mine? Would you be mine? I was gone for a bit, but it's now I'm all right. My neighbors was all black, but now they white. So the check cashing place turned into a bank. Elevator works and the stairs, they don't stink. The white people came and changed everything, but I am still your neighbor.
Yeah, remember? It was so funny. And we're able to look at ourselves in the mirror and laugh. God forbid you do that today.
Hey, how about in
oh, my
color?
God, you're racist. Oh, my God, you're racist. Jesus Christ, give me a break. Get a fucking life.
They racist against their own. It's not racism. It's life. It's life.
Yeah. Yeah. God.
Hey, we
you
might.
Know what we should do?
Yes.
We should have some. We should do some. What would just to buck the system? And we're all good with. We all know. We all know that who we all are. We're very comfortable in our lives and who we are. What we represent.
We
things, right. Because of that, and because I think we, the three of us here, don't take life that seriously. Oh, that's right. You know, we're able to say racist things that would. We're able to promote.
Definitely cut this out.
We're able to promote racism effectively.
My wife said the same thing about me. Sometimes I say some stuff like that. You don't say that. I'm like, okay.
We're able to promote racism effectively here on the show.
That's real good.
No, but maybe I can find some old Don Rickles and some other things, and maybe periodically just play some what would perceive to be things today that would be considered racist. But we're gonna sit here and we're gonna laugh, and we'll hope our audience laughs. So we'll play some old Don Rickles clips.
And Bubba, with a few almonds on your face, we got candy.
So we'll play some old Rodney Dangerfield, some Richard Pryor. Eddie Murphy.
All different cultures.
Yes. Yeah. I think, because, you know, for a while there we were playing music on the show, which is a whole lot of fun, but you can hear music on a billion shows and listen to what you like to on your own, even though I'm hoping that we expose you to some really cool stuff.
Well, it was on last Monday morning, and the day been calm and fine, to the Harbor Grease excursion with the boys to have a time. And just before the sailor took the gang away from the pier, I saw some fella haul me wife on board of the Volunteer. Come on!
Oh me, oh my, I heard me oh my cry. Oh me, oh my, I think I'm gonna die. Oh me, oh my, I heard me oh my say. I wish I'd never taken this excursion around the bay.
But anyway, we should play some comedians. You know, some comedians, George Carlin. You know, and just play some cuts from these comedians, and laugh and fucking enjoy the laugh, enjoy the humor, you know, enjoy it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you're racist, for Christ's sake. You know, get off that fucking boat. You know.
Yes.
Anyway.
That's crazy, man. People scare. Oh my gosh. You know what? Andy and Amanda, if people just learn how to laugh, everything will be okay.
Yes, life is way too serious. And you know what is funny, though? I learned this fun fact yesterday. Obviously, it was May the 4th yesterday, right? So everybody was like Star Wars crazy yesterday, right?
Yeah, so, I'm a Star Wars fanatic.
Exactly, right? James Earl Jones once traveled across the U.S. and used his Darth Vader voice to talk to truck drivers. On
God.
A CB radio. Yeah, right? And it freaked them out
God.
That much that he had to stop doing it.
You know, want to hear something funny? A friend of mine said, oh, my gosh, you like Star Wars. Well, why don't you put up Good Times? I'm like, what the fuck?
What?
You didn't do that for Good Times. You remember that show, Good Times, Andy?
I do remember that show. Wasn't that with the...
Yeah, my friend was going to promote Good Times. I'm like, yo, I'm just a Star Wars fan. Well, you're not black.
Oh, my God.
That had to have been so... I wish I could hear some of that with Darth Vader voice. That had to have been great. Oh, my God.
I know, that's right? Can you imagine that? That would have been so cool.
That's my favorite fan, man. I had my whole, you know, my basement, Darth Vader. Even, I even call my car Darth Vader. I have Darth Vader all stuff awesome. In there.
That's cool.
Oh my gosh.
It's
oh my gosh.
All the memorabilia and stuff, right?
Yes, I have all that stuff, man. My friend, a friend of mine named Mike Solomon. Thank you, Mike Solomon. He gave me the old school from 1970 pop up candies.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yep. Star Wars. I don't even know what that is, but I'm just going with it.
Oh, no. The people. Imagine there's no heaven.
I like the birds. Like, yeah, I figured I'd add a little. Yeah. Yep.
Beautiful.
Yes. Yes. Well. You're on the Andy Mania show. We what a conversation. What a, it's amazing how sometimes these shows go. Might be better if you don't plan them in the future. But anyway, I don't know. But this has been a fascinating discussion and something that I'm sure will continue to touch every so often because. Just imagine. That's all I can say. Just imagine, as John Lennon put it so beautifully and so perfectly, the world is being as one. Can you imagine the world is being as one?
Oh, my goodness. Mm. I think everybody wants that on some level, even the ones you say they don't. Let's all face it. Because as much turmoil as people are feeling inside, deep down below all that bullshit, they want to feel peaceful. They want, you know, to feel happy and have people respect them and say nice things to them. And I'm sure that with that change, that they'll start doing the same back. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people, egotistical people out there, say, oh, fuck that shit, peace and all that bollocks. And, you know, they'll be, it's like, well, yeah, you're living in an existence that is suitable for you right now, but does it truly make you happy? Does it?
Right. Right.
Really?
Does it?
Look what it's doing to you.
Yeah.
Look how miserable you seem. And it's like, they're frightened to experience any kind of joy or happiness, and that makes me so sad.
And when it comes right down to it, you know.
That means they can do anything they want.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. What a show. Wow.
Great show, guys.
It has been. You know, it felt good to rant like that.
You know,
get
way
that
up, and then it went down.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man. Like you guys, I just
fucking show.
Yeah, I get so passionate sometimes when we're talking about certain things. It's just like, it just pours out of you, right? When you're talking about such a deeply touching subject, one that affects us all.
I'm glad we worked that out. That was good timing.
And maybe, and maybe even...
And now we're going to get money because we want the money...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice. Back to the norm.
Amanda.
Yes.
Cornell, it's been wonderful. Take us home.
It has.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank on behalf of Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, and myself, Amanda Love, in the UK, and on behalf of our wonderful coordinator, Cornell, in Philadelphia, thank you so much for being with us. We love you guys, and thank you for hearing our bullshit.
Thank you.
Yeah, and our audience is around the world, except...
China doesn't like me too much. They pay us billions and billions.
Yes. You know? And if anybody, just remember...
These people are sick.
Given that, we'll see you Friday. Tune in.
Yes. Absolutely. I'm out.
Well, I'm out.
Right.
Well, no, you
I'm out.
Thank
you.
We'll see you guys. Bye now.
Bye.
See you Friday.
Bye.